Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on January 14th, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Allison Clayman. Allison, thank you so much for being with us tonight and for this incredible film. We're going to have an audience Q&A in a minute, but I'll just ask a couple of questions to get things started. If you could just tell us a little bit about how you first encountered Carmen and her work and just kind of how the project originated.
And also thank you so much to the Cuba Cultural Center of New York that I know has made this an event tonight. So thank you if you're in the audience from that group. I know you've been supporting Carmen for many, many years. And it was just only fitting that we reached out to you guys, and I'm so glad that you're here. So the question was how do you
came in contact with her work?
So, this is now my second film about a contemporary artist, but it was because I had made one film about an artist and it led to this film. My first documentary feature was about Ai Weiwei, the Chinese artist and activist, and I traveled with that film throughout 2012 and 2013, and as that tour was winding down, I was at a museum in Toronto that had a big show of his, and we did a screening of the movie, and at the dinner, some folks from Listen Gallery, who, as you saw in the film, now work with Carmen, they also work with Ai Weiwei, and, I was talking to them, and I said, if you ever have any good stories for me. And they said, we do have one. You should go meet Carmen Herrera. She was 98 years old at the time. I had left China, was living in New York, but was about to move to Tokyo for my husband's work. So it was like a week before I was moving, I brought my camera and I went to meet Carmen at her apartment. And I just thought, oh yeah, I have to do this. She deserves a film. I want to know more. And I also think, it was in the back of my mind, too, that after doing Never Sorry, that I really wanted to complement that work with a film about a woman artist as well, just because, feminism and just equal representation is important to me, but I think you make movies and you react to the story that you find, and that wasn't really a big theme at all in Never Sorry, and so I thought it'd be really nice to showcase a different kind of artist and also perhaps a woman artist.
And at the very end, the film alludes to the Whitney show, which just ended, and it was incredibly successful, and she is probably much more well-known now, probably exponentially so, than when you met her. So can you just tell us a little bit about the conversations that you've had with her after all of that sort of acclaim and Ballyhoo came out with the opening of the Whitney?
Totally. And it's in a different way and maybe more confined to the art world. But, I felt like it was a similar thing as had happened with Ai Weiwei. I came back from China, and if I told people, oh, I'm working on a movie about Ai Weiwei, they would say, what? Who? They didn't necessarily know. Which can definitely still happen now, but so many things happened in the art world and the, contemporary politics that catapulted him to, stardom. Similarly, Carmen Herrera has been in, the New York Times, T Magazine so many times in the last 2 years, which is always a great thing if you get to feel like you're both contributing to somebody's, being well-known, but also better yet, that you're a resource now, like that this film can be a resource if people heard about her, went to the show, and they can, deepen their knowledge and also get to know her personally. As this film, we finished it in time for her 100th birthday because, why wait? And I wanted it to be something that she could enjoy. And like you see in her spirit, it just keeps going. It was confirmed that she was going to have, that was one of the last cards we put in, that she was going to have this show at the Whitney. She, went to the opening night opening, so she got to go around and see the entire top floor. How many people here went to the Whitney exhibition? Okay, that's awesome. So unfortunately, it was extended a week, but unfortunately it closed on January 9th, so I guess that was Monday. But it's traveling as well, and there's a great catalog. But you know, to see her work all laid out like that, it was about 3 decades. I mean, she just thought it was fabulous. And every time I go to visit her, she's got, you know, another magazine, you know, Art Forum, Art in America, you know, and she can see her, how she, you know, or they print out her press from online and she reads it. And she also like watches news from on like Spanish television, like from Spain. That's like the news she likes to watch. It's probably the only thing she watches on TV. She reads a lot, and she works and she gets visitors. And so I feel like she's definitely taken it in stride, but she's completely aware of, you know, the reach of the work, and it hasn't made her kick back at all. She's just still working.
Amazing lady. Any questions from the audience?
Well, I really love the way you relied so much on her own voice, because the first movie there was, I guess because she's no longer here, you mostly heard other people talking for her, for Elizabeth. But so I, you know, I feel like I connected with her by hearing her own voice. So I was just wondering though, you didn't ask questions like, you know, that you usually see in films like this. Well, what's your secret of longevity or anything? Were you tempted to follow that kind of trajectory?
Thanks so much. Yeah. Well, I would say I did. I definitely tried to ask every question a million times over. If I didn't get a good answer, that's the beauty of doing a film in the way that that I did, as opposed to, you know, coming one day. You know, you could come on a great day and get one interview and great B-roll, but coming again and again to see, you know, if you get different answers. And so the question I always pushed was like, what's it about? Like, what's your art about? Which I probably also speaks to the questioner and being like, you know, I am drawn to political art, but I'm also really drawn to her art. And I just wanted to make sure, like, you know, she was getting to express whatever it was that, you know, that was there, to help me understand it too. Like, how do you stay interested in such like minimal work for decades and decades? To me, it's undeniably stunning, and there isn't. I don't think sometimes people say, "Oh, I could, you know, I could make that." But I don't think I could make that. I would ruin something. I wouldn't follow the less is more. I'd have to get really to be able to do that. I remember once like decorating a bag, like a little backpack I had as a kid, and just I like didn't like it, so I added more and I added more and I totally ruined it. And I feel like that was something I would always think about, you know, it's not so easy, even though you could replicate it easily. It doesn't mean you could make it. But I still really wanted to like, but why, or what does it mean, or why do you do it? And in the end, what I put in the film is what I think was the best answer when there was an answer, which was, you know, you have to art about art, you know, you don't talk about art. And for me, that was the answer. And in terms of longevity, I mean, we would just make jokes. I mean, she makes a lot of jokes about like, you know, like they'll be forgot or, you know, whatever. And she, as a child, there was a time where she was interested in being a nun, she said, but that her mom always laughed at that. And I was like, no, you don't. But so she obviously she has a spiritual and religious belief, and so she and has a good sense of humor, so she would make jokes about that. But I think I didn't need to ask her the secret to her longevity, because I feel like it was evident in her life. You work every day. I mean, she wakes up in the morning, she has a simple breakfast, she has a routine. She like work, it's like motivating her that she cares about. It's a problem with a line. That's a line that didn't make it. It was in an earlier cut and didn't make it into the film, but I love, she says, you know, I'm having a problem with a line today, you know, and it's just, that's what she's working on. Light lunch and with some scotch or, you know, rosé or, you know, chilled white wine in the summer maybe. And, you know, she really doesn't eat a lot too. So those were like, I was like watching her for the longevity thing, although I found that a lot of people are interested. Maybe that just wasn't something that interested me as much. And I read an article too, just on this note, that a week or two ago, there was an interview with the UK's oldest woman, who's 110 years old. And it's, the headline was, you know, she says the secret is Scotch whiskey. So if you're on Facebook, you should follow our film, because I always repost stuff like that because it reminds me when I see the connections to Carmen. But yeah, I think that she kind of lives a life that shows you. And I think the fact that she keeps reading, and so she's lucky that she is so sharp and that she, you know, her eyesight is good. And she's had times where there was maybe health issues in different capacities, whether it's her hearing or if she had a cold. But, you know, God forbid, her is really important to both the work that she does and then also she likes to read. And I think all of those things are part of it.
Hi, thank you so much. I, in terms of the quality of your film, I felt the that you were very sensitive to the simplicity of her approach on the one hand, but on the other, to allowing the monumental impact of her inner voice, her capacity to observe moment to moment the shifts that were going on within her during her work. Some of the earlier paintings had more curvy linear lines and were a little bit more lyrical. And I was thinking about what on the one hand seems more severe about her very straight lines as the work developed, that there was a very delicate, sensitive attunement to the presence of moment-to-moment experience. And for someone that has lived over a century, that is something that I think she captured, the capacity to observe change, monumental changes in the world and within herself and her life, and capture the feeling of those shifts in life that are both monumental and can be also simple. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad that you were able to see something, you know, you had insight both into the work and into her. That's really great.
Just wait for the microphone.
During your conversations with her, what did she ever mention other artists that she was in contact with throughout the years, that either men or women artists, people like Ana Mendieta or anyone like that that she kept in contact with, or in what way was she connected and continued to be connected? Because, you know, you mentioned her years in Paris, yes. But then kind of just what comes after that, it kind of disappears. And I was wondering, you know.
Totally. So to be with Carmen is to hear a ton of those stories. She actually was incredibly connected. What I would say is both for a lot of reasons why it's not in there is because it is almost like something that's better over cafe con leche or like a drink rather than necessarily to fill another half hour, you know, of the film. Also because there wasn't really a documentary record of her with people, which is unfortunate. But it's like gossip time, you know? One thing that's record was really written rather than visual. Again, I feel like as a documentary filmmaker, you can always see, oh, if I wrote this as a book, or if I did this as a, you know, musical album, or if I did as a, you know, there's all these different forms, but there's great written material. Jessie is in one of Frank McCourt's books, from working at Stuyvesant, and there was also, he was also very close with, so they would talk about him. Barnett Newman was a good friend of Carmen's, or of Jesse, and his wife would come over and have, you know, meals all the time at their house. It was especially in the years where she first had come from abroad, and so the way she tells it is both, her English maybe wasn't as good, so but she may just be being hypercritical of herself. I don't know if I believe it, but just that she was like, you know, things were flying around, and maybe I didn't always get to say stuff. But she says that he influenced her so much also that she thought he was one of the most brilliant artists. And again, he's someone who's about, you know, simplicity and paring things down, so you can absolutely see those conversations. You know, talked about, like, you know, running into, you know, she had a lot of opinions about Picasso, about, you know, seeing Ad Reinhardt and Georgia O'Keeffe out at the galleries, or, you know, like, she was plugged in. She, like, was close and in conversation with art, with some of the artists as well. Others, it might be just like a scene, you know, it was a scene, and so she was able to, you know, encounter them rather than, you know, there being a whole album of pictures of her with someone, but she would encounter people. And so I think, and Wilfredo Lam was another one that mentions a lot. And also one of my favorite, these are all like my favorite outtakes too. And when she talked about, you know, Wilfredo, and also that when he would come to New York, he would often stay with them or leave things at her house. And she said, you know, the women loved him. And so they would call, and she'd get on the phone and say, you know, I'm not his secretary. You know, they call you as Wilfredo around. So again, the stories were great because they're both alive in that sense. And then you could talk about the art. Now, Wilfredo's art is very different from hers, but they were intimately, you know, friends and, you know, mutual supporters in that sense.
Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight, Allison,
for
this wonderful film.
Thanks to Film Forum. This is really great. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.